IVM.
Hi, everybody. Just wanted to ask everyone for a quick favor. We're running a brand survey right now and would really appreciate it if you could let us know what you think about the advertising on IVM. Go to ivmpodcast.com/survey and do let us know. As part of this, we'll be selecting 10 random participants and sending them some IVM swag. So do fill out those surveys.
Hi, and welcome to Know Your Kanoon. This is Amber from EM Rana Ventures, and welcome to another episode on our journey towards legal knowledge and understanding the laws in India. And today I have someone very interesting, someone very eminent, Mr. Sushant Sinha. Thank you so much for being with us, sir. He's the founder of Indian Kanoon. And all you law students and prospective students would have gone through the website and seen the content. It is the most sought of, and I think easier to access, better than Manu Patra. I'm using the term here on my show because I'm expressing my opinion as a lawyer. But thank you, sir, for creating the platform. Thank you so much for being here with us. And it was a pleasure to have you today. Now I'd like you to do the honors of introducing yourself, because I think we cannot justify the amount of work that you have done and put the content online from a legal fraternity. So thank you so much for being here. And please, now you take the mic and introduce yourself.
Thank you, Amber, for having me on your show. And thanks for a generous introduction. I have been running Indian Kanoon now for more than 13 years. And I mean, what I started as a small project, I didn't know that I would be involved for such a long period. This is even longer than my PhD thesis. That took 6 years. So this is even longer than that. So I started Indian Kanoon around 2008, just as an experiment to see where we can make it easier for people to find law, legal provisions, and to make people understand court judgments. So I started with only two major improvements over what was existing. What was by linking the court judgments together with the legal provisions and with the court judgment itself, I tried to deduce what is a more important judgment or not, and which provisions of law are important or not.
So, absolutely, sir. And your understanding, now I'll start the show with asking, how did you manage to understand? Because as law students also, when you're in your second, third year of doing law, most of the students are clueless on linking judgments with provisions, because that's the art, right? As a lawyer, that's the art you need to have, and it's struggling. But you created a database and segregated the database to match with sections and provisions of law which are relevant to the judgment, to be able to, you know, give a concise outcome of what the judgment is all about. And someone who's not coming from a very, very hardcore law background, of course you do have a background, but not something where you were practicing for 20 years and you decided to do it. How did this happen? Do you want to understand the journey, and then we'll talk about decoding judgments and the sections and everything?
So, I mean, I started as a layman. I didn't have much idea on the law front. And I mean, my basic knowledge was reading law blogs at the time. Okay. And so I was doing my PhD and I had free time in my PhD days. So I used to read two law blogs, basically, Law and Other Things, which was done by Tarunab that time. And I think there is a bigger group of people there. And Spicy IP, which Shamnad started. So these two law blogs I used to read and kind of semi-educated myself on the law front. When you are coming from a computing background, you don't really need to know the exact law. Because I'm not losing a case if I don't know the law.
Correct.
Right. As opposed to a lawyer who doesn't know the law and goes to the court, then there is a danger of losing it.
Yeah, there are repercussions. I understand.
Right. So my job was to get things 80%. My benchmark has always been get the 80% done and release it. So once you see that kind of accuracy, you move forward. And of course, there are still problems in the website, and we keep trying to fix all of them.
You know, and now I'll come to the journey of concluding a judgment. The assessment, the biggest assessment that any law student, and this is what I want students today to know from you, how to make that judgment so concise and precise. What is the crux they must understand? Because, and I'm not asking from a legal perspective, I'm asking from a reading perspective, because let's keep the legal out of it. Because it's simple English, but not so simple. But somebody needs to understand the crux of it. And understanding the crux requires, since you're a layman, you read through it and you compile data. What was that technique that clicked? And what would you tell the future prospective law students while they're looking up for judgments, that what can they look at and how can they surmise it?
So I think what we're doing right now is still very rudimentary in nature.
Right.
Right now, what we are trying to present you in a court judgment, we are trying very rudimentary ways. So now what we are doing is we are building more sophisticated systems to actually make it easier. So one thing that we are doing is right now machine learning court judgments, which is so that we can divide a court judgment into facts, arguments by petitioner, arguments by respondent, and then in the end, conclusion.
Correct.
And this is something we are just going to put as a synopsis at the top. So it's not done yet. The work is still in progress. I'm working with some people who are actually people with law background to do this. So this is something that I want to do. And once that is done, you will see a far more improvement in the things into navigating a court judgment. Because then you don't have to go para by para. You can just click on the various what you are interested in. If you are interested in arguments by the petitioner, you just go click on that link and it will take you there in the court judgment.
So you are basically giving an advanced version of the High Court websites that they will have to come to you to see if judgments have to be sorted and made simpler. I think job easier done for me.
Yeah. They should divide it.
I'll stop you. I'll tell you, there is a fact to it, sir. Overseas, and as we see, our law is also progressing and courts are becoming tech-savvy slowly, and we are reaching that front. There is transcription, there is video recording, there is audio transcription of a level that you can hear the audio transcription and just surmise the judgment. You don't actually have to go through files and physically read through. And India had transcription, I believe, in the early 50s and 40s, and then it went away. So you're adding so much of, tech to it, it is getting simpler. So on that front, I want to understand from you the very first judgment that you decoded. Jab aapne sabse pehla kiya, what was your experience then with law? Basically, I'm sure you would have read the blogs and jaise aap keh rahe hain, your journey started, but aapka sabse pehla experience of reading a long judgment and then thinking that, you know, I can break it into pieces and maybe create this. Yes. How did you decode that?
I mean, for a lay person, reading a court judgment is pretty daunting.
Exactly.
I mean, because of the fact that you have no idea. I mean, you would have read a book or so in the back, but the fiction is nowhere close to what a court judgment is. The structuring of it and the way the things are argued. So the first judgment I read was actually, I don't know if it was the first judgment that I read, but the first judgment that I remember was actually reading a matrimonial dispute. I think Law and Other Things blogged about it, and then I reached it somehow. About giving custody of a child.
Correct.
And that was kind of a bizarre judgment. I thought, how come such subjective opinions of a judge be reflected in a court judgment in disputing a dispute between, in trying to adjudicate the dispute between two parties? How can subjective opinion be used? So that was very intriguing to me. Because see, we are coming from a tech background where things are far more objective in nature. We have subjectiveness, but not of the level of what the law requires or law has. So that was kind of a very different feeling I got when I read a court judgment. And of course, after that, I understood the law field a bit better on what actually happened.
Correct. So, sir, what will you recommend to the students? Aap students ko kya bolna chahoge? Like those who end up reading judgments and then look up. So some of them now, Indian Kanun has become a point where you just type the keywords and it pops up, and then you can just look at the relevant cases when it just pops up. It's a search engine that we are saying.
Correct.
But what would you tell the guys? Even then, reading a judgment has to be on a lot of factual points, on extracting the matter out of the judgment. What will you tell a prospective law student to look at when he looks at a judgment?
I mean, as a tech person, I don't think I'm a great person to advise on that. I think most law schools now have courses on reading a court judgment, on extracting the what is the.
We did not have them. I did not have that.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I talked recently with some folks, and they said, yeah, they have a class on. A course on how the court judgment is structured, facts, then the arguments by petitioner.
There is a brushing. You go through, you brush through it, you go through it, but it's not a detailed course as to where you are surmising judgments. I'm sure it is now there. I don't know, in 2006 or 2007, there was no We had moot courts, we had everything, of course, what the five-year law course has, but summarizing paras and understanding the judgment is something that we need as lawyers. You know, it's not only about just going through the case law, it's also about understanding what the intent of the judgment is.
But I mean, I think in a long-term view, the technology will be evolved enough to actually cover the basic stuff. Like structuring, we will be able to do. We are also doing sentiment analysis, which is what you can just jump to things which are positive in what you're looking for, because that's what many lawyers do. So they've got a case and then they want to find cases which are more positive of that. So we are doing sentiment analysis. We are training systems to actually make sentiment analysis easier.
I will want to highlight to this, because people, listeners would be there, there will be students also. Sentiment analysis is when in a courtroom, a lawyer recognizes the sentiment of the whole matter, the previous judgment, tries to capitalize it, use it in the same manner professionally with the right kind of law to convince the judge on a lot of grounds, apart from legal grounds as well, that the matter should be looked at from this perspective. Also, sentimental analysis is something which is now new from a tech perspective to us, because, I mean, as it is, it's a trick of the trade that people are doing. You've rightly highlighted. But from a search engine perspective, it will be a breakthrough for us, because then you can just look at what can be used in a particular... It's just basically like dissecting and conducting a surgery of when trying to know which portion to be tweaked in your next law matter. So all those prospective law students, please read up about these things. It will add to your skills. If you're in second year, third year, fourth year or first year, you should read about all these things. It will help you dissect and understand the matter better.
Yeah, so sentiment analysis in legal informatics is slightly different.
Right.
So we have only the sentences to parse. We don't have a full courtroom to actually do much with it. So what we do is we look at the sentences, paragraphs where a particular case has been cited, and look for words and phrases which actually identify what that sentiment is towards a particular case, what the judge's opinion is. I mean, sadly, many of the cases don't have an opinion, actually.
Right.
They will just cite the case and not express an opinion. So we are now giving it as a neutral sentiment. But I think we have also now a fair amount of positive and negative ones.
Correct, sir. No, and this will be a breakthrough, because that really helps in understanding the matter also. Because some of the times, it is hidden. It is not coming out, but if you read deeply the cases that are cited, you can understand the sentiment from the cases itself, that where is it headed and how the court will look at it on basis of the cited cases. And sometimes, you know, you're a petitioner or you're a respondent, you understand if the matter go your way or not at all.
Yeah. Coming back to your original question is, so a lot of things will be automated over a period of time. And I mean, I'm sorry I started all this late, and so we got late on the semantic analysis of the court judgments. But right. I think over time, all of this will get automated. What the real work of the lawyers will be actually a much high level work rather than doing painstaking, hard, laborious legal research. It will be about connecting the dots. It will be about looking quickly at large amount of data to actually support your case. I mean, that's what lawyering is. I think till now, what people were bound by was time, the amount of labor-intensive tasks that goes into legal research. So all that will be simplified. So you'll be able to look at a much larger case volume to actually construct your brief.
So I think internships will be much more rewarding in terms of doing laborious tasks, because
now
have to go through volumes of books to look at judgments and see what's happening. It's online and such refined.
Yes.
I wish I was an intern when this was all going on.
So you can focus on higher pieces of intellect rather than...
On a lighter note, a lot of interns will be able to score brownie points with seniors, because coming up with quick summaries and connecting them also, you're able to be more productive, you know. Otherwise, a study of a lawyer just starts in the morning, you're researching on hundreds of cases.
It takes a
toll. Now that is that part of itself. But what else can we expect from Indian Kanun, let's say, when it comes to areas such as transcription that we spoke about? Are you guys also thinking of that being clubbed on the search engine?
So that no courts have been releasing the transcription, as far as I know.
Right.
The only transcription we see is from Live Law and Bar and Bench.
Correct, Bar and Bench.
In terms of, and they record the important points. Actually, mean, I really used to like, I've seen, read a couple of transcription from the US federal courts.
Yes.
And they are extremely awesome because you can actually see how a case progresses. What are the correct questions put forward by the judge, how they are replied. Very, very nice. So, that kind of thing we are totally missing in India because the students can't educate themselves on what is happening in a courtroom.
Correct. You don't know.
Even when the live law and Baron Bench are doing such a great job, they can't really transcribe the whole thing.
You cannot, because there is no transcription happening in court. And, you know, even in Canada, in US and Britain, transcription, they also hint out at what point, what lawyer says, what and where it stopped. And if it stopped for the day, it follows to the next day that, XYZ entered the courtroom and started the argument with this point. Whereas in India, we lose track of it when we are making our case.
Yes, we actually
don't get to know what happened in the last matter.
Even the judges forgot where they left in the last time.
They don't know what happened. What did the wakil saab say to them?
Which point we got stuck there?
Yeah, we got stuck in, and that becomes like a tough point to crack because even the time is doesn't remember, the court clerks don't remember what's happening because it's not transcribed. So we look forward to that from your end as well.
No, I mean, that is beyond my control. That is the courts have to do it, right? The transcription.
No. From a judgment's perspective, I believe that which would come on Indian Kanun, where you're advancing already on so many fronts. If we can have something like this from your side, I think it would be a huge boon to the students. The idea of making good lawyers, I believe, is during your internship period, your student time. If you have good access to material, then it's only in 2006 or 5 onwards that online search engines became a source for Indian students and lawyers to seek knowledge and use. Manu Padra came in, and you guys were budding, and so many little the platforms were there, but it was very difficult to place a case and find something. So we'll talk more about Indian Kanun from this perspective. Your journey on Indian Kanun, there were times when it was said that we could not cite Indian Kanun at a point because some judgments were small. But actually, those judgments had a lot of content. Like, I'll talk as an intern. But they were content-based and the referencing was perfect. Have you faced such challenges while compiling this also that your journey as a compiler of this as well, your team that basically compiled this, some of the challenges that you can talk about, because I'm sure they're from a legal background, that's how they're compiling this. Could you narrate our experience from their side of compiling? There are judgments which are so old and difficult to find in some places, but you have to place them and compile them, and you might miss on essential points when you're doing such a big task. So some of your experiences on that side, because law students will be able to correlate to that.
So, I have run this all for almost 12 years as a single person running a website. So, I have tried things. Only this year I have hired a couple of people to actually work on the semantics part of the court judgment.
Your experience then. Let's say forget the team, your experience then.
Yeah. I have tried to completely automate the thing. So even when I had to automate, when I had to add a court judgment that is not there on Indian Kanun, that is also fairly automated. I just need to click one command and that is added. So Indian Kanun is a fairly automated platform in that sense. Okay. We have various things, various processes that run to enrich a document, but all that is automated. There isn't we do anything on the manually front, the one big issue that comes, as you say about referencing, is I think sometime back there was a comment from a Delhi High Court saying that they do not rely on court judgment from Indian Kanun because they have a paragraph that never existed.
Correct.
So that kind of thing I never understand because we don't tamper with any court judgments. Only recently we have started doing a bit of tampering, which is removing victims of any sexual crime.
Of course.
Names of that. Because we didn't used to do that even earlier.
Okay.
So apart from that, there is no time. And of course, there are, I think there was a Supreme Court order to remove two paragraphs from a Madras High Court order. So that was done So apart from that, we don't do any tampering. And even that removal is also automated now. We just plug what is needs to be replaced with what, and it is done. So we don't do any tampering, and that is why it was kind of a disheartening thing to hear from Delhi High Court that we actually do any kind of tampering with court judgments.
Right.
Which is why then I told on Twitter that we will open all our court judgments, whatever we have downloaded from the courts, to everyone. So now on Indian Kanun, you can download any court judgments we have downloaded from the court directly.
Oh, superb. So then more access and clarity in terms
of... Yes. So if there is, if you see that, if you think that there is anything we are missing, just see the actual court copy, what it was when we downloaded.
Okay.
So you can verify it yourself.
It's comparable. So people can use it for reference and see whether it is exactly
and
the trend, same.
And many people actually liked it to actually they submit court copies only now.
I think it's better to submit court copies because it's much easier to then for you. So from an accountability and responsibility perspective,
exactly.
Always
so we are fully transparent on that.
Right.
So this submitting to courts are slightly tricky because what they expect, what they don't accept is beyond my control anyway.
Absolutely, sir. Absolutely. No, perfect, sir. And on the closing note, what would you, if I had to say in five lines, what would you talk about? What is Indian Kanun? That is how I would say to you, how will you tell the students to benefit the maximum? Most of the people don't know how to use search engines. When I was new, at least in my time, I can talk about the generation now. But when I was new, I did not know how to go about searching either Manu Patra or Indian Kanun or any other such platform. What will you tell the students, the first year students, how to use these search engines? Because keywords are the tricks of the trade here. You should know the exact keywords. What will you give as a reference to people what they should use?
So we try to expose many of the things to make things easier for people to search, which are by default. Some things are, however, which is what you say about framing the keywords. That is the still the hard part. And that is why I think this query suggestions try to improve that. But again, for a new issue, that's still not enough. So at the end of the day, I think you have to rely on your own intellect to frame the keywords correctly. And of course, that when we rebuild our database, your queries will actually get reflected into the query suggestion. So everyone's work helps everyone. In that sense, but yes, I think researching a new matter is always tricky because the facts of the case are always different because the things that you are looking for is different. So, I'm kind of lost on that front, how to automate that.
No, correct. Because generally, when I would say from a lawyer's perspective, we are always looking at summary of facts because that gives us an idea whether we need to scroll through the case or not. And if you know the facts, so anybody using a search engine option for a legal base should act because, you know, so what happens is if you type keywords, there are a lot of places where keywords will only give you some of the judgments with the keywords only reflecting, but the facts are not the same. So facts is
correct,
one which
correct.
You should concentrate on instead of citing, you know, judgments because that same judgment could be cited in hundreds of different matters. And also... there is a huge possibility of the replication of law in another sense. You know, I could have the same judgment used in three different senses based on how it has been used under civil law, criminal law, etc. There's no interchangeability, but still, again, I would say on facts. So I still say facts of the case is something that all lawyers should look at. And thank you so much, sir, for being with us. It was pleasurable to know about whatever you're doing and good insights as because... I'm sure a lot of people will write in to know more about Indian Kanun from your perspective and how we can make it even more magnificent the way it is. And it's been helping the layman. And we look forward to have you on the show again once you have maybe made the changes and the developments. And we'll want you to regularly come on the show and give us updates of your latest judgments. That'll be amazing for the listeners if we can have something like this from you. A small segment of latest judgments maybe on the show. And I think we'll be really, really glad to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks, Amber, for hosting me. Thanks for a good interaction. And hopefully once I will do the releases, because I think I talked about something that we haven't released yet.
Once you do that.
So hopefully we do that. I'll take more queries from you that time.
Yes. Thank you so much, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Amber.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, it's been another great week on the IVM Podcast Network. On Know Your Kanun, Keshav Chaturvedi talks to Ambar about climate change laws and their implications. We have a new show, The Last Brand Standing. Anupam Gupta and Ambi Parmeshwar get together and discuss some of the biggest and most public feuds in Indian brand history. Do check that out. On Candid Kanun, actor Priyank Sharma spills the beans about his career controversies and reality shows. On The Habit Coach, Ashton teaches the way to maintain the habit of persistence. On Tere Mere Raaste, Keshav takes us to the famous city of Kochi to discover its heritage. And on New Skids on the Blocks, catch the week's updates from Afghanistan's horrifying crisis to Messi's exit from Barcelona. Do follow us on social media. We're IVM Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And remember, if you're enjoying this show or any other show for that matter, please do tell a friend. And finally, we'd like to thank our sponsors on the network this week, Siet, Cred, Bank of Baroda, Quarter, CoinSwitch, Kuber, and Intuit India. Thank you so much for making this possible.
Hi, I'm Zarina Poonawalla, host of the Empowering Series podcast on the IVM Network. I happen to be a peak performance coach and leadership coach by profession, and I'm here to share with you productivity tools, life-altering techniques, and real-life hacks to help you achieve your maximum potential in everything you do, your relationships, professions, careers. So tune in every Monday to unleash your inner power. Be safe. Be well, be empowered.